Okay. He's ready to go.
Yep. Born ready.
Ready?
But not quite ready. Oh, I thought you were going in. Oh, faked me out.
I see you did. you ready?
Leading to my own brew, sorry. Yeah, go.
I am Bill S. Preston, Esquire.
I am Lieutenant Gonville Rumhead.
And I'm Hal.
And this is a podcast called Lethal Watching. Living hell with another world.
Biscuits.
I haven't said what I was supposed to say yet.
Oh.
Hello, lethal listeners.
Hello. Hello. So I'm probably got bleeped.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Because this week it's non-lethal watching. See. So
what fun can you have with something that's non-lethal?
That's our topic this week, is non-lethal watching. So all the bleeps are going to get bleeped. All the swears are getting bleeped out.
Balls.
Even that one. That's borderline, but I'm still going to bleep it anyway because it'll sound funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Shitty boy.
Really, this is just an excuse for you to swear, isn't it?
Yeah, but just shouting random swears is no fun. What do you have to say is by putting in the middle of a sentence with everywhere, then it makes it funnier.
Yeah, it also makes it really hard to edit, so thank you for that, Jared. This is a really bad idea. This is a really bad idea of mine.
You have to do it now?
Yeah.
It would be very clever as well if you could actually bleep out the word as Morse code.
Oh, man, I have to learn Morse code now. You know. Oh, I'll do it myself then. Oh, Jesus.
This is a funny blurt.
I think that we should release a version that's like non-edited as well.
I'll keep it. No. I'll do it clean and I'll go through and put the bleach in.
It has to be clean, all clean.
Yeah, because it's non-lethal watching. It's non-lethal. Family-friendly. Well, not family-friendly. Well, should we actually mention what our topic is as picked by one of our listeners?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Because you'll remember last week, we said, what did we say? We said, any listener who emails in can pick our topic.
And one listener did.
Yeah. Thank you, Derek. Derek Williams of Free Market Economy and Iconochromatic and lots of other bits and bobs and stuff.
And the internet.
Live Thor watching as well. Don't forget that whenever we do it next. He came up with a topic for non-lethal watching, which is basically that films rated no higher than PG, but not specifically aimed at the family market. Yes. So, films that are PG, but not like Santa Clauses and Firehouse Dogs and Hotel for Dogs.
Yeah, and do you know what? If we decide to revisit this at any time in the future, we'll be able to do the Expendables 2, because they're making it a PG-13. Yes. Those bunch of ass whiny.
You know whose fault it is? You know whose fault it is?
Chuck Norris.
Mother Norris.
Chuck Norris. Because he said, I'm going to have to find the quote. You talk, I'm going to have to find the quote. Because he said something about saying language.
Yeah, somewhere he said that it was all about the, oh, I don't know if I'd like to do that language. Ooh, that sounds awful. Ooh, no. It's against my sensibilities. I feel my bowels tightening up already. Ooh, my IBS. That's what he said.
He's lost a lot of man point.
He has.
Oh, he's negated every single Chuck Norris joke that was ever done, because it's literally now Chuck Norris, the whiny face.
That's what the internet blacked out about yesterday. It was all about Travis going PG-13 on us.
And then, like, Sly Stallone, like, tried to do, like, damage control, coming there saying, oh, like, don't worry, even though it's a PG-13, there's still good stuff in there. Yes, whiny, b***y PG-13 stuff. It's Expendables 2. The whole point of the Expendables was that it was the excess of the excess with regards to, like, 80s action films. 80s action films weren't PG-13.
They were bloody 18s. With a bullet.
Humper.
With a bullet. He said in Expendables 2, this is Chuck Norris, in Expendables 2 there was a lot of vulgar dialogue in the screenplay. For this reason, many young people wouldn't be able to watch this. Chuck Norris doesn't... But I watched his films when I was younger.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus, but I don't play in movies like this, he says.
Yeah, Jesus. Chuck Norris, you don't play in anything anymore. You should be happy for the paycheck.
Yeah, bitch. It seems to be like a sliding slope, because obviously, you know, this all kind of kicked off thanks to Rambo, you know, the newest Rambo film, which was balls to the wall, insanely violent. And it just seems to be a slope going down away from it. You know, Expendables 2 was a bit less violent, even though it had, like, the greatest neck snap in the world.
Yeah.
And now this one's kind of gone down a bit further. It's like, oh, come on,
we want
to get back
to the... Well,
you
know what? They could, maybe they'll call, you know, maybe they'll get it back. You know, PG-13 could still have lots of action, but you just know you're not going to see that same kind of stuff.
There'll be no graphic.
No.
The throat's being ripped out and the, you know, the thing with a big giant 50 caliber machine gun blowing people into chunks. You're not going to have that.
Mm.
Oh, Sylvester.
Maybe it'll be good.
Still be good. I think Chuck Norris is supposed to be a bad guy, isn't he?
I got to say, there are probably, I can't think off the top of my head because I haven't researched it, there are probably some decent action films that are PG-13, but by and large, there's not.
It's like horror films. Generally, you know, for horror to be really good, it has to be an 18.
Yeah.
Generally, because Drag Me to Hell was a 15. So my argument kind of falls down a little bit.
Drag Me to Hell is not scary. It's just gross and funny.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Kind of like yourself.
Yeah, but... La, 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 la.
In your face, Dr. G Fresh.
Right, let's start this episode and go.
Right.
Who's talking too long?
Okay, we'll go. We're going to go now.
It's Lethal Watching!
See, I remember, because I think a while ago, I had a bit of an argument with, I think it was Dave Whitelaw on Twitter about this. About Dave Face Whitelaw. That basically, there was like a line between like kids films and like all ages, for want of a better word. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, who said there was and who said there wasn't?
Oh, I think Whitelaw says there's like kids films and that's it.
Right.
It's like kids films and adult stuff.
Does he apply that to cartoon TV series that he really enjoys? Or mutually exclusive? Because as far as I know, Dave Whitelaw thinks Avatar, The Last Airbender, is the greatest cartoon ever. So
greatest
if it's
story ever, I think it's...
Yeah, and therefore, if he argues that it is kids stroke adults, he's negated his argument.
The point was, like, there's kids stuff for adults, like... But there is a difference, like, you know, things like Star Trek The Next Generation, that's not designed for kids.
It's not a kids.
It's not aimed for kids.
But kids can sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, like, there are films, I think, that kind of, you know, kind of straddle that. And I think where the topic is going is more towards kind of like, you know, the dramas and the kind of more serious films, of which I think I've got a few written down. I think you've got a few written down, haven't you, boys?
No.
Okay.
Well, I've got one.
The one I'm going to talk about.
Go on, then. Which one are you going to talk about then?
I don't know off the top of my head. Like, well, what can I do? So I just Googled it, and one that jumped up at me was Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. We'll be right back. I thought, well, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, it's not a kid's movie, but I think kids could watch it. And I think it's, yeah, I think I'll talk about it. I definitely don't think it was made for children or families, but it's a PG movie, and it's definitely one that they could sit and enjoy.
Yes. Because I think this has been, like, in like the last kind of few years, there's been this kind of split in films where you've had, like, PG has become kids' films, and then, like, the 12A has become everything else. Which I think, you know, the best illustrated is in Transformers, the last few Transformers films from Michael Bay.
Mm.
The fact that they've kind of, you know, put in some language and made it a bit edgier to get to the 12A, to get, like, the kind of edgy teenage market. Yeah. Well, I'm using that in the broadest possible fucking term, you know what I'm saying? Michael fucking Bay. But there has been that split between, like, there's been this kind of move between moving things towards a teenage market, especially in America, and it's kind of left everything else to one side. Well, I think Bill and Ted falls into that area where it's like, yeah, it's not aimed at teenagers, but it's not aimed at kids, it's just aimed at everybody.
Well, nowadays, it's all about money. It's all about getting the most people in to see. It's what happened with Die Hard 4 or whatever. I mean, it was essentially dumbed down because nowadays, the first three Die Hard films, a lot of kids have seen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's well known, and so they, you know, they wanted to capitalize on that, and they wanted to get as many people in as possible, so they made it a 15.
Yeah, because it's the biggest market.
You can still get away with stuff. Yeah, you can still get away with stuff in a 15, but Die Hard is an 18 franchise.
Yeah,
you know, it's what makes it good. So, it's the same with what else? Well, I think Aliens and Predators, like, that was a complete cop out.
Was Predators a 15, was it?
Predators was... I don't know off the top of my head.
It wasn't, was it?
Well, lucky one of us has got the BBS website open.
Predators was a 15.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's... It's Alien versus Predator. That's the one that really, I think, that was such a cash grab.
Yeah, that was terrible.
You know, that was just about getting as many people who could get in. And I think it was... I think Alien versus Predator was very much marketed at sort of children and
teenagers.
You know, it was a 15, but there's nothing in it. It's a completely useless.
What was
15.
The second?
It was an 18.
What was the rating of the second one?
Oh no, it was a 15 as
really?
Well. I don't even know. I'm all confused now because to me, Aliens versus Predators, the shit all in it. There's literally nothing.
Well, I
can't
see anything in the second one.
The second one has a bit more gore and things in it, but the first one has absolutely... There's nothing in it. It's what is it? What is it that warrants a 15?
Is it language? Because that can hike it up a bit more.
Useless.
I mean, these days. I mean, like, I just looked at the classic Predator 2. Was originally certificated as an 18, but now it's a 15 because you really do you have to work for an 18 these days. That's generally kind of, I think it's like sexual violence that gets you an 18 more than anything else.
Bill's favourite cat.
Could it
be because of the whole monsters aspect being slightly scary?
Mm-hmm.
The whole design of them?
I mean, I think I would say that Aliens and Predators are now so much in the public conscience that they've lost that
the scariness.
Scariness of them. I mean, the Alien versus Predator game that came out recently was an 18. So the Alien versus Predator game was rated higher than the films. You know?
God bless you, BBC. They're doing a tough job with games, but...
It's bonkers. It's bonkers.
But what certificate do you think the Bill and Ted video game would have got?
Well, there was a Bill and Ted video game for the Game Boy that I had. And
no ways!
Have you never played the Bill and Ted Game Boy game?
YouTube
that shit. It's great.
Yeah.
You know what? It was based on a... it was based off some old game, I think, that was made for the Spectrum or something.
Nice.
Bill and Ted's Excellent... It was called Bill and Ted's Excellent Game Boy Adventure.
I think.
Yeah, it was based off some old... Spectrum game. I can't remember exactly what it was. I need to have a quick look here and see.
Say what it is. It looks kind of like Bumjack a little bit in there.
Hold on. Where did I see it? It's definitely somewhere. We'll find it later. It's built off. It's based off something else. I saw it in a magazine.
I'll tell you what the game was rated as. It was rated as ME, which was for hey. Most Excellent.
Most Excellent.
What else was it? Rated as
Excellent.
Bill and Ted are awesome, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on
that
excellent
message. We'll talk about that in a minute.
We're going to talk about the Game Boy for a few minutes first.
Right. We've talked about everything but the bloody films.
Yeah. Bill and Ted Bogus Journey, which is, I remember being a bit scary.
No, it's not scary, but it's
not even the rabbit, not even the Easter Bunny. Come on. Yeah.
Well, do you know what? I did. That is the one bit.
Thank you very much.
But overall, I mean, that bit in hell is really, really freaky. It is freaky deaky, especially
for some reason
when they go in. I was watching it last night, and whenever they go into the military part of the dream, it reminded me of Psychonauts for some reason, the way it's all styled. But
oh, that's true.
The granny is pretty freaky in it, actually. It's
the granny as well, with a weird kind of... Big hairy lips.
And the bit where they're running down the corridors at them, yeah. It's kind of fisheye lens, that's pretty freaky.
Don't like that at all. Okay,
but it's a sequel to obviously Excellent Adventure, and they were both PGs, and I don't think either of them would have been made for the family child market. I think they were probably both made for teen or up.
There's been a kind of perception that, well, the makers assume that if a film gets a PG, the teenagers aren't going to see it because it's not quote unquote edgy enough for them, which is why they push them up onto the PG-13 in America and 12A in the UK. I mean, yeah. Wayne's World, I think that was a PG when it came out. I'm going to check on that.
I think both of them were.
Yeah.
And that was actually one that I was going to go with, and I thought, oh, well, I'm not entirely sure who that was aimed at, because obviously the actual show...
I would say it's a teen thing, yeah.
Yeah, the actual show was on at like 7 o'clock, I remember. So yeah.
I would say it was definitely teen market.
It came from Saturday Night Live, which is a late-night show on American TV, isn't it? So it would have been for a different, like, an older audience.
Well, it got a spin-off as well. They actually did do a series.
They did a show by themselves. I think on cable somewhere, was it on like?
Because I think it was part of the Def Jam slot in the early 90s on BBC
Two. Def Jam.
Yeah,
happy days.
Good stuff.
But if Wayne's World was made these anymore. Days. It would have gross-out humor and it'd be bumped up to a 12A.
Yeah, it would. That's exactly you've exactly said. What I was thinking, if this was a film that was made now, it would be ridiculous. It would be all silly. It would be like Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
It would be gross out. It would be slapstick. And it wouldn't... I generally think Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey are very funny, but in just a funny way.
Yeah.
Not in a, we're obviously trying to make you very, you know, ha-ha, funny joke, ha-ha, laugh way. You know, it's just a funny film.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. They are both really good films.
It's a very different film compared to the first. It seems tonally very different.
Well, it's a lot more fancy stuff. The first one's about time travel, but I mean, the second one's got the robots and heaven and the baddie robots and the good robots.
Still freaks me out that Death was played by William Sadler.
Sadler's funny, isn't it?
It's so weird.
And I was just reading as well the quote that he says. It's like there's, you know, the things that are in it that sort of would you sort of make you think, well, this wasn't made for a kids sort of thing. You know, there's the quote that Death comes up. You know, there's the whole bit with him playing Death. I mean, that's from The Seventh Seal. I can't imagine too many kids seeing
only the really messed up kids.
Bergman film. There's Primus and Faith No More, which I can't imagine were very kids oriented bands at that time.
Quote
that Death says, you know, that you may be a street sweep, a king or even a street sweeper, but sooner or later you dance with the Reaper. That's a sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger there, but that's a quote from some serial killer.
That was a brilliant Schwarzenegger impression. That was, I've got to say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a quote from a serial killer that before he died, before he was electrocuted or gassed. And, you know, there's just those things. You just get the feeling that it was never intended to be for a children's audience.
It's not aimed at family, it's just aimed at people, like older people who find it funny.
Yeah, I think so. It's just that's what it is. It's just older people who would find it funny. I mean, never even looked into Bill and Ted before, but when I was doing this, I didn't even realize this. It was a It was like an improv theater that the two guys who wrote the two movies were Bill and Ted, and it was actually, it used to be called Bill, Ted, and Bob, and there was like a third character.
That was the 19th. No, no, that's wrong.
Who they eventually changed. I mean, in the
Bill
improv,
and Bob, that's just wrong.
They were very much stoners. They were very much stoners in the improv, whereas in the film, they're just kind of goofballs, you know.
Yeah.
You don't really get the improv. It doesn't really come across that they may be high all the time. They just kind of are a bit goofy. Whereas I think...
But it's kind of implied, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. But it's not... I don't think it's obvious. Do you know what? It's not even as obvious as the Scooby-Doo movie, where there's like the whole sequence of them talking about, like, you know, they're like talking about... Scooby snacks and there's smoke all coming out of the... You know, coming out of the van and things like that. You know?
I feel kind of bad kicking Scooby-Doo down when it's down, though, in a way, because I think...
You know what, the Scooby-Doo movie, I don't find the Scooby-Doo movie intolerable. It doesn't offend me. The second one offends me, but the first one doesn't offend me.
Well, the first one was weird,
though, because it took the piss out of itself, original thing. So, I mean, the fact that Scrappy-Doo was the end bad, he just said it all, really, so...
Yeah, well, I had the weird thing with Scrappy... You know, basically pissed on Daphne's face, which is just weird. But you know, in that film, Matthew Lillard gives one of the greatest film performances you'll ever see in your life.
He is very good as
you know,
Shaggy.
He's like, you know, he is Shaggy in it. He's amazing. But the rest of the film's a bit rubs.
Yeah. But you know, a couple of things about Bill and Ted, about sort of, I suppose, the franchise. I mean, essentially, I think this is Alex Winter's defining role. I don't think he ever will step out of the shadow.
Well, I would argue Keanu Reeves hasn't
I think to some extent, yeah, Keanu Reeves as well. This, you know, although he's known probably to younger people very much more as Neo and things like that, I think that just the fact that the way he talks now is still very reminiscent of how
Ted
talks. You know, you still always just get that flash whenever he's talking.
It's just that one word that, whoa, that is Bill and Ted. Yeah.
And Martin probably loves this film because there's a Star Trek sequence in it. That's
Is there? Yeah. It's been so long, I can't remember it.
Well, they watch it on the TV. I think it's from the episode Arena. And they watch it. It's the original series.
With the lizard man.
Yeah, and then...
Oh, yeah, they get dragged on the same thing, don't they?
Yeah, they go up the same rock sort of mats. Yeah.
Oh, bless.
Now, there are a couple of things about Bill and Ted that I think almost ruins it now, in that it's obviously a film of its time, and there are quite a few, there's a couple anyway, of gay jokes in it. You know, very, not, you know, like they call the robots fags, and there's the whole thing about Death dressing up in a girl's costume. I think they might say fags or something else at some other point in it. It almost spoils the film now, I think, because, you know, obviously it was made in, what, the 1991, I think. And there's things, you know, you just don't, that kind of stuff's just not acceptable in films now. And it almost ruins it slightly because you kind of go, ooh, you know, it's kind of like, ooh, gay joke. It makes you cringe a little bit. But it's almost brought back from the fact that it's got a building a robot montage. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Station building the robot.
Yeah.
Station.
So it's an awesome building a robot montage where you just know he's literally just grabbing things and going, and that's it. And then the next thing is robots, but it's great.
The good robots are brilliant.
Yeah. And to me, I don't know whether it's just me or not, but the whole Battle of the Bands thing, to me, that's like a really 80s notion or something. Like apart from School of Rock, where they have some sort of Battle of the Bands, the only other thing I can think of it is like things in the 80s, like... Fresh Prince and Saved by the Bell. Like, you know, they always had things like Battles of the Bands and things like that, you know? And it just seems like a really 80s notion when you're watching it. You're like, ooh, I love that. Like all these people like sitting around their TV watching the Battle of the Bands. It's like,
yeah, there's
off.
Like the whole, it's like basically like the whole world watching it or something. Like that.
No, it's just the Denomalous just takes over the whole, Denomalous who's the valley.
No,
it's just the people of San Dimas are watching it, but it's like there's like a sequence where like these two guys like are sitting and they turn on the TV and it's like and then like 100 people come in and like all sit around them and like grab a popcorn bowl and you're like, Get out of town. No one fuck off. There's other things to watch than a stupid old Battle of the Bands show on TV.
No, it's true.
Like watching, you know, what do you call it? Access TV or cable access, what do they call it? TV. That stuff's shit, man.
Like anyway, in Wayne's World.
Yeah. But I love the film. I love the time game. I think that's funny. I also love Bill's ZZ Top beard when he comes back. And I like the whole sort of post-credits ending where it sort of like outlines their whole sort
the
of...
the whole future thing.
And then, of course, they are still, I think, tossing around whether they're going to do a third one or not.
Bill and Ted 3.
I know Alex Winter probably needs a...
He needs a yeah.
sandwich to eat at some point.
Maybe they can bring Bob into it. Bring Bob into the sequel.
Bill Ted, Bob. Hi, I'm Bob.
No, because like just saying Bill and Ted and Bob, that's like hearing like the full theme music to Cheers. It's just wrong.
It was. That's what it came from originally, but who knows?
Yeah.
There is one thing stopping the whole fact that there's going to be Bill and Ted 3, and that is what's his name? I'm just Googling now. George Carlin as Rufus.
He's
George
dead. Carlin's
obviously
he's dead,
died, and Rufus is such a big part in it.
He is, but he's actually quite absent. In when you watch both films back again, actually, and you'll see. Although he is a big part of it, he's only in Bogus Journey for maybe in total maybe 3-4 minutes. It's very Yeah. He's only in it at the start and at the end, and that's it. You don't even see him the whole way through. I think he probably pops up even a bit more in the first one, but it's still very minimal. So
yeah.
I think, although it's sad that he's dead, they could definitely get away with it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could maybe get Louis C.K. to play him, because apparently he's, like, a lot of his career, he's influenced by George Carlin, so...
He could get that would there. Be a good option, actually.
Yeah. I will email Keanu immediately. Keanu at thematrix.com.
Do you know what his reaction would be?
What's that?
Whoa.
Oh, Martin. I think another film I think I had written down to discuss was a Steve Martin film called The Spanish Prisoner, which was a David Mamet directed film. Now, David Mamet's known for kind of, you know...
You know what, Spain, that's actually pretty funny because that's rather close to Africa, which is where my film starts, and that's Zulu.
Zulu?
Yay!
There's no way that's a PG,
I fucking love Zulu.
Surprisingly enough, for all the but death and all the fighting that goes
it's
on.
It's an old film, so...
Well, no, even when
was there sort of a significant rating?
Even when it came out in 1963, it was still a Universal film. So anybody could have seen it in 63. Like, in my head, that Zulu's quite a violent film.
Do you know what? They're on the back of the fact that it's terribly, terribly... racist and colonial.
Yeah.
Is it? A film called Race of Zulu is a bit colonial, is it?
They were probably like, well, do you know what? It's history. So
the funny thing is I've actually done some research on this because I looked into it, and it's good to see that films back then were known for its historical inaccuracies as they are now, because apparently this film is full of historical inaccuracies. I mean, there's a bit in this film, I don't know if you remember, but they actually have a bit of a sing-off against each other, the Zulu Boys start singing the song.
Zulu Boys.
And then Zulu Boys. And then the old the Brits start to do the Welsh mining song kind of thing. And it do like back and forth. It's like, what the hell is going on here? Expecting Simon Cowell to pop up going, yeah, they've got it.
Well, then some kind of dance off to kick off afterwards. Obviously, that's the next step, isn't it?
Exactly.
Michael Caine comes out and starts breakdancing.
That's not the only thing. Apparently, a lot of the characters were actually played wrongly as well, because there's the thief in it called Hook, and apparently that was taken out of context quite a fair bit, and so much so when they actually premiered it, apparently Hook's daughters actually walked out of the film in disgust. So there's quite a lot of dodginess going on in that film.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very uncomfortable to watch it, just because you do know it's played for the British audiences, so it's, you're not told the whole story, you're not told that the fact that the British are actually the invaders of the colony, the Zulus were merely defending themselves. Instead, it's actually put on the spin that the Zulus were attacking British colonies, so you want them to...
What, old boy? Do you remember that battle with them Zulu chaps?
Exactly.
What a glorious day, wasn't it? We killed lots of them. Marvellous. I had trumpets for tea.
Indeed, and Michael Caine's obviously in it, and he does actually play a posh...
Boy. Very I want to kill them Zulus.
Ridley Scott's back.
I thought he told you to blow the bloody legs off.
But he is, I mean, was Michael Caine known for being a Cockney Oik then, or was he a posh actor?
Well, I don't know, because obviously this was his first film anyway, so yeah. I think he might actually just be a good actor, and he knows that the person who he's playing here is going to be of good stock, so he decides to go, ho-ho, what's going on?
Yes, that was very good. Michael Caine doing a posh accent.
I thought he would blow the bloody doors off.
Speaking of the Queen, don't you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed. There's a really good part in this film, a really good action moment. Michael Caine actually does, he's on the top of a roof, of a burning roof, and he actually jumps through the flames. And it's actually him, because you can see him in the one shot, and he jumps over. I mean, the flames aren't that big, but you just know, back in that day, they mustn't have had any health and safety forms to fill out for him to do that.
My old get on a roof, jump across the flames, yeah, mate. Huh? What?
Yeah, sure, I'll do that. It's my first job, why not?
But do you think, like, the kind of historical, the historical nature of the story lets them get away with a bit of violence? Because, I mean, it's not Peckinpah-style violence. But
no,
still...
I think that is why you can get away with some of these things, is because at the time it was made, 1964?
Yeah.
You know, it was probably thought of as... some sort of, you know, there probably were people still alive, maybe even, who were really? In that, you know, you never know.
I don't think never so. Know. I think there would have been...
It could have been 100, but they could have been alive.
1879 the battle was fought, so 1879-64.
Nah. Well, somebody who was alive in that year was probably alive in 1964.
Is that it? Is that your best argument?
I pulled on my mother's tit.
As I watched over her boobs, I thought this film's rather good.
But you know what's actually funny is some of the action sequences, some of the fighting in this film, there are some really good parts, and then there are just some terribly naff parts. And I'm talking about, you know, the old drama, even like play acting, you know, the whole where you stab someone and they put it under their armpit to make it look as like...
And then they go...
And it's just so, so bad. Obviously, they don't have a lot of... It's not graphic, so there's not a lot of blood. There is slight amounts of blood, but not a lot, and certainly no way graphic. So it does earn its PG status, and obviously it's not aimed at kids, so thumbs up.
I think it's got a boy's own adventure kind of thing to it, you know, the Brits watch over and all that, fighting the bad people, it's all that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's make the Zulus the bad guys.
You can imagine it being like in an issue of Battle comic or something like that, you know. It's got that kind of flavour to it.
Yeah. To be honest, nowadays, it's actually quite an uncomfortable watch, just because you do actually see... Because obviously back then, we were barbarians, really. So
See this land that I see before me? It is now mine, and you people who are standing on it, you must move out of the way. And if you do not, we shall kill you.
If you don't move out of the way, you can take my luggage.
Yes. Wear this hat and take my bag. So there's a good man.
Yes.
And tea. Chop chop. So, and that was the entire thing. So, and it's uncomfortable to watch that now. And it's hard to say it's a good film just because of the tones that it suggests. But saying that, you respect it for obviously the amount of work that it has done, not only for British cinema, but a lot of war films of today. I mean, chances are you'll probably find a lot of war films, or certainly films with battles in it, would say, oh yes, they saw Zulu and saw the amount of...
Well, apparently a lot of the Battle of Helm's Deep from Lord of the Rings was influenced by Zulu.
I wouldn't be surprised, in all honesty, just because of the amount of sheer numbers involved. I mean, it is quite an effort. It's really good, well pulled off as well, so...
Yeah. Which, I was mentioning that Thursday, that I've just finished watching all three of those with my son. And I'm going to mention that because the first one is actually a PG. So I couldn't remember that. I thought they were all 12s down the line.
Wow, really?
But the first one is a PG, even though it's got, you know, orc stabbing, head chopping action through it. Still a PG. Even when Boromir gets, like, shot with a couple of tree logs through his chest.
Yeah. They're probably, the Hobbit's probably going to be a PG, isn't it? Again, because what they want is to... They'll want to accumulate as much as they can, so by making it a PG.
Well, no, it's the PG-13. That's the certificate they think will draw in the biggest audience because you get PG-13. The teenage market.
Yeah, I suppose you get the people who won't go see a PG because they're like, "Ooh, PG, that's a kids' movie."
Exactly, that's the kind of the perception that certificate's got, you know, which isn't really true, because there are some genuine classics that are a PG. I'm going to throw one in your faces right now. I'll get you ready for this.
Yeah.
2001 A Space Odyssey.
That's pretty good.
A Kubrickian film detailing, you know, man's evolution from monkeys through to the future child, the star child. It's a PG. Yeah.
Just, do you know what? Even now, if I sit down and watch that sometimes, I'm kind of like, what's kind of going on here?
Yeah. It is
and I've read the book, and I've read the book, and I know the book, and then sometimes I'm watching it and I'm going,
What? I mean, the only thing the film's missing really is Rob Schneider, which they corrected for the sequel, you know, clearly. It's the only way the film could be better. But, I mean, it has got that whole kind of Kubrickian kind of, you know, emotionless, like a very cold emotional core to it. It's all kind of, you know, detached and it's not really a film that you think, you know, when you say PG, you don't think of 2001. You know, and I did try to sit down with my son to watch it. The problem is, it starts with about 2 minutes of like the band warming up, like with a black screen. And my son was like, "Is it starting yet?" I'm like, "Well, no, it's just, you know, it's the beginning of the film." He's like, "Yeah, but it's black, it's broken." I'm like, "No, it's not broken. It's just, you know, the start of the beginning of the film. It's like the orchestra warming up. It's like a little quiet bit before the film starts."
That's a hard film. How old is he, 7?
Yeah.
That's a hard film for a 7-year-old to watch.
It's a PG, though. He can watch it. So I thought, I'll give it a go. He had none of it.
That's also the reason why Star Trek The Motion Picture was like what it was. It relied so much on copying the style of 2001. Because that has the same kind of thing, the same startup sequence.
You know what they actually should have done? I'm just thinking with 2010. They should have actually had Rob Schneider in it. That would have been good.
Oh, man! I said Rob Schneider, didn't I? No, wait, I'm confused. That's a good one.
That would be amazing.
Roy Schneider's good, isn't it? Yeah. I can't remember which way round it is now. Oh, fucking hell, my whole world's just been destroyed.
I just
imagine every film with Roy Schneider in it, but instead got Rob Schneider in it.
But that'd be hell.
Have you seen
and the opposite way around?
Have you seen that South Park episode where they always do those narrations? Like, Rob Schneider is so and so in so and so. That's what's going through my head right now. Bob Schneider is stuck in space.
Seriously, I can't find a pen. Write that down. Swapping the Schneiders over. I need to write this down really quick.
Which the Schneiders?
Roy Schneider in the animal film, whatever he was in. I don't know.
Sequest DSD.
Juice Bigelow?
Yeah.
Roy Schneider in Jaws?
Yes. Roy Schneider. I need to write that down. I'm stopping the podcast so we can write that down. That's a genius idea. Rob Schneider swapping over. Done. Because what's that form with like Rob Snyder's like animal people? You could cut that into Jaws well easy.
It's just, what is it called?
Animal. No, it's not, is it? Oh.
Man, oh man. This is shit.
Oh no, you're talking about. Yeah, I know the one.
Hold on, quickly.
Not Deuce Bigger Shit, it's the other one.
Deuce Bigger Shit.
Roy Schneider and Deuce Bigelow, male shit. Where is it? The animal.
The animal. The hot chick.
Shit, man. Oh, that is. I'm cutting those things up to shreds. That is a good idea. That is a good idea. Sorry. I destroyed that section, didn't I? Where were we?
Yes. I think we were talking about the Spanish prisoner, weren't we?
f***ing Spanish prisoner?
Yeah. No, but before we move on to the Spanish prisoner, I mean, yeah, 2001 is. It has, you know, the scope of it, you know, I say, my son tried to sit down to watch it. He didn't get through the first 5 minutes. It's just...
Yeah, it's too much.
It's just too much.
Too much for a 30-year-old.
The scope of it is too much for him to get. Even though I think it goes to something like Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's a lot more, you know, it starts off with a big flying spaceship. You know, with the first film, it's just I think Star Wars is a tricky one because obviously the prequels and Return of the Jedi are aimed at kids. Let's get, you know... They're aimed at a younger audience. I would argue that the first, no, episode 4 and The Empire Strikes Back, they are aimed at a slightly wider audience. Because, you know, that kind of market for kind of, you know, the kids' science fiction films, whatever, that wasn't there with Star Wars, was it? It was just like everybody just liked it.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of science fiction films at that time were just all like the teen market, at least. All these like pulp kind of things. It was not really a child.
Yeah, it's not
really
a family thing, so they're just aimed at being like films. I think, is it Silent Running? I'm going to check that one, because that's the one that's with the robots in space doing the thing, isn't it? I don't think that's I think that's a PG as well.
Whenever you were talking about Silent Running and things like that, I was trying to find if Outland was a PG, but it's not. It's an 18. Just because I wanted to talk about Outland.
You love Outland, don't you? Actually, no, Silent Running to you for it's a Universal.
Oh, wow, that's even better.
Yeah. And, you know, so, you don't think of films... And it sounds weird, but you don't think of films from the 70s as being suitable for kids. Outside of the Disney ones.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Because another, I mean, I mentioned 2001 being a Kubrick film. How about this for a PG certificate? Doctor Strangelove.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Doctor Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Wearing and Love the Bomb. It's a PG.
Here, son, sit down and watch this.
Yeah, watch a film about the mutual destruction of humankind.
You know, what's funny as well is most of the Bond films, certainly the early ones, are all PGs as well.
Yeah. I think it's only from, be like, I think Goldeneye was a PG.
So if, and it was probably from Woods Not Enough then. No, was Goldeneye? I thought Goldeneye might be 15. Oh, certainly you've got adult ones anyway. They would have been 15.
No, you're right. Goldeneye is 15.
Yeah, I think it's from like adult ones. Probably View to a Kill. That's a bit possibly. I don't know about that one.
I think it was a 12. Well, it's hard to say because it was no. It's that's when it was classified in 2006. It was 15. But I think there was the old 12s though. There was no. Before there was 12A, there was just the straight 12 certificate. When they went to video, there was no video 12 certificate, so they bumped up to a 15.
They went up.
So that might have been a 12 in the cinema and then going to 15 on video.
You see,
it might be the case for that. Because I know, cause I checked, obviously, the first thing I did was check Sneakers, because obviously Sneakers is the greatest film ever made. And that was a 12 and 15 on video. Yeah, no, I'm right. Yeah, Goldeneye in the cinema was a 12.
Oh, there you go.
And
then 15 on video. So again, I think it's from that area. Like I said, the Dalton area, it kind of bumped up into that kind of higher market. I don't know why, though. Because, I mean, you look at the old Bonds, I mean, there's like neck snaps and killings in it, but it's never gratuitous.
Well, there's always a thing, and it's the thing... It's whether you see blood and stuff when people are shot and things like that. You know, that's always the...
Yeah, it's like when you go back to Boromir being killed in Fellowship.
Yeah, the arrow go in, but do you see anything?
I don't think you see anything at all. It's just like the arrow sticking out of his chest.
Yeah, it would have been very different, I would say, if there would have been even like a squirt of blood or something shooting out, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, cause, I mean, there's none of that. I mean, even in like... the Battle of Helm's Deep. I don't think there's any kind of blood in it. But you still see, you know, heads and arms being lopped off, which I think is where they kind of draw the line, I think. It's the, like you say, it's the, like, how they focus on the violence. If they kind of show the after effects of it, I think that's where they start drawing. I mean, I still maintain the most violent film I've ever seen is Baby's Day Out. No, it is. It is the most violent film. You watch it. I mean, it's, the baby sets lights to a man's crotch, and someone else stamps the fire out. I mean, that is a Scorsese film, frankly. But, you know, that's like done in the cartoon fashion, so it's fine. You know, I understand that, but it's still, like, incredibly, incredibly violent. And that's a PG. How does that work?
People don't know shit.
You just need to add that bit. And you can do anything. You can read Goodfellas. We do some of the hardest scenes in Goodfellas.
Put some comedy sound effects on it.
Mallet sound with everything.
I'm going to write that one down as well. Goodfellas with comedy sound effects. Boing. That's good. We've got two new videos there. Sorted. Job done. So do you think there's like still a market for these kind of films? Because like I say, things
for
like...
PG?
Yeah, because like I say, with things like Transformers hitting the 12A, it seems like most, like all the Marvel films have been 12s as well.
Do you think Transformers 2 and 3 obviously were shit? If they had all of the rude parts taken out of it to the pushed it over to the 12A category, if you had all the sexiness and all the needless stuff taken out, do you think it would have made a really good PG film? Because I think it could have given it a good chance. You know,
nothing could have made any Transformers film a good film, especially. After the first one?
No, I think, you get at least half an hour of the film, and anything out of... The problem with Transformers 2 and 3 is the bloat. It's too bloated. So you lose half an hour. That's, you know, that's a good start. But, I mean, I think the last one I remember being a PG was Tron Legacy. That was a PG at the cinema.
What, was it?
Yeah. I took Ethan to see it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But things like, you know, Thor, Captain America and Iron Man, those films that, you know... 20 years ago would probably be like the big summer blockbuster films are 12s. And there does seem to be that kind of move away, like, you know, the big tempo releases are a bit edgier, a bit like 12As. Even though, you know, things like, I know they're not taking part of the remix, they're aimed at kind of family stuff, but, you know, Indiana Jones and those kind of films were just aimed at everybody. Maybe not after that, because, you know, PG-13 was invented for Temple of Doom and all that, but there seems to be this kind of I see it in comics as well, where like comics seem to be pushing up towards 12A with violence and language, and that kind of middle gap of just being okay for everybody is just kind of lost.
I'm going to try saying something here. Is that good luck. Because do you think? Thank you. Do you think that the 12A certificate is now the new PG? Because let's face it, if it's a 12A, you can be any age, any kid really, as long as you're accompanied by an adult. And obviously, parents won't normally let you go to cinema until you're about six anyway.
There were a lot of complaints when The Dark Knight came out, where people were taking their kids to see it, and they were a bit messed up by it. Not messed up, but they were scared, and because The Dark Knight isn't appropriate, I think, for a young audience. The audience that watches, Batman Brave and the Bold and whatnot, The Dark Knight is not for them. Film, that is borderline 15, The Dark Knight. And, the youngest age for a 12A is 8 years old. That's the lowest age that the BBFC recommends seeing a 12A. So, but again, it's up to the responsibility of the parent. If they think their kid's ready for it, they can take them to go and see it.
I remember, what was the first Batman when it came out, were you saying?
That was a 12, I think. Wasn't 12 events for Batman?
When did that come out? What year?
It was 2004, 2005 time.
No, Batman. The Burton Batman.
Oh, 1989.
Well, I went to see that when it came out in the cinema, and I was 8.
Yeah.
And we went up, I remember we walked up the whole, we just basically had to lie, and we went up to the cinema, and the guy was like, is he 11? And like, I was 8, or whatever, 12, I was clearly 8, my dad was just like, yes, and he was just like, alright, and just let us in.
That's weird, because I always refused entry to, I think, Gremlins 2 was the 12A, and I couldn't get into that.
No, and I walked straight into Super Mario Brothers, so for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I tried to get in to see Braveheart with my family. This was 95 time, when I was about 12. And I couldn't get into that, so instead we ended up watching Batman Forever. Shocking.
Unlucky.
I know, that really was a harsh deal.
I saw Batman, the first Batman, in the cinema, and don't remember going...
No, there was a lot of things in the press about it, weren't there? About the intensity of it and the kind of... It was a different take on Batman, because I think people's impression of Batman in the 80s was still Adam West, for a large part of the audience. Mm. That's how they saw Batman, that kind of, the bright, four-colour kind of style of Adam West, who is technically the best Batman, but that's another podcast for another time. So when Burton's Batman comes along, which is basically, black and dark and beating people up, it was a bit of a shock to their system, I think. But that... It should have been a PG. I don't think it deserved to be a 12, even though they invented the certificate for it. I mean, Jurassic Park's a PG as well. Again, we're talking about a film aimed at the widest possible audience.
Yeah.
But that's got some dude getting bitten in half, and that's a PG rather than a 12.
Yeah, I think Steven Spielberg, I suppose, probably does do a lot of PG films, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, E.T. was PG. But I also wrote down a few of the films. Oh, that was a 12, that one was.
Excuse me, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, what was Minority Report?
That was a 12 as well, I think.
What was I, Robot?
That was it.
Just seeing as Phil seems to be able to rhyme off everything.
But I did write down some other films, certificates. Arachnophobia, there's a PG for you.
Ah.
Yeah, exactly. There's a terrifying film, and that's certainly not aimed at kids, especially, unless you want to instill some kind of fear of spiders into them. You might do that with Ethan later. Kelly's Heroes is a PG.
Mm. Again, that goes back to the whole 70s, 60s.
Yeah, but you don't imagine a war film with like someone getting blown up on a mine being a PG, but it is a PG. And also, one of Jared's favourite films, The Straight Story.
Yeah. And yeah, that's definitely... Oh, man, why didn't you tell me that one? I would have done that one instead.
You should have done your research, shouldn't you?
I didn't know. I looked just on one website.
Yeah.
What about The Great Escape? I bet you that must be PG as well, mustn't it?
I would have thought so, because again, I think...
Yeah.
Whilst they have violence, again, it's not kind of focused on, you don't see blood, and no. The language isn't there in order to kind of bump it up a certificate. Yeah, The Great Escape's PG.
Mm-hmm.
It's got people being gunned down in a pit. It's off camera, isn't it? You don't see it.
Yeah, well, pretty much everyone dies in it, apart from the odd one or two.
I wonder about The Tower in Inferno. Because that's...
I was just checking Bullet. It's a 15.
Oh, Bullet will be 15, yeah, that was...
Yeah. And again, I think there's blood and stuff in that. I'm not... The Tower in Inferno is a 15.
Oh, wow. I just realized Steve McQueen has acted, obviously, in The Great Escape, he acted with Ilya Kuryakin, David McCallum, and then in Bullet, Napoleon Solo is in that, Robert Vaughn. So that's impressive that he
was. Side and Adventure, was it PG?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's films of, like, I think it's after you get through the 70s into the 80s where the kind of, I think the violence level starts to go up a little bit. And that's where, like, the willingness to show more kind of gratuitous violence. Kind of goes up a little bit, actually kind of start getting high certificates. But I, you know, I like, I don't see why PGs are kind of roped in with kids' films. I think they, when they're done right, they can just be good films for everybody.
Yeah.
And I've got to ask as well, what certificate is Logan's Run? Because that's just been showing on film 4, and there's nudity in it.
Nudity?
Exactly, at this time of night.
Nudity, 12.
Nudity? Is it 12? Is it? Wow.
Yeah. But yeah. I got PG.
Oh, I'm on IMDb.
Oh, ooh. Actually, no, tell a lie. Oh, hello. It's all over the place. It's a 12 now. But
was a PG.
When it was done in 86, it was a PG on video.
You know what Rogan's Run should have been rated? 29.
Oh, man.
Oh, there's a joke. Oh, there's a joke right there.
That's a good joke.
Oh, it contains moderate violence and sexuality. I mean, the thing is as well, the film's on... kind of re-put in to be re-certificated.
Mm.
It would change, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously this one's been put in a couple of times to be... I mean, there might have been like a slightly more like a director's cut screen that's got the 12 certificate. I mean, it does look like it's a longer time. Jesus, yeah, it's much longer run time. Because like when it was done originally, it was a PG, it was 113 minutes. But now it's now 227 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Just pulled like an hour out of their ass for that film, by the looks of that. Yeah, but I mean, I don't like the way the kind of the whole film market's kind of pushing towards 12As and stuff, because there's a lot of films I like to take Ethan to go and see, which he just can't see because there's typically like Thor and stuff. I wanted him to see it at the cinema, but he can't because it's pushed up to a 12A.
He's like, probably, you know, seen it now, has he?
Yeah, he's seen it now because I watched it and it was fine. But by the time by the time it had kind of gone out of the cinema, and also things like Transformers, you know. The battle in the woods in the second one would have blown his mind. I know that, but the whole kind of weird sexual politics around it was just a no-go. And it's just frustrating because, you know, when you make films for the widest audience, they can be great. I mean, you know, you look at Pixar. Again, you know, those are firmly aimed at kids, so they're probably not really put in there. But, you know, the first 10 minutes of Up, you know, that's one of the most emotionally traumatic things I've seen in my life.
Definitely, yeah, definitely moving. That certainly wasn't targeted to kids. So I don't think kids would probably understand the amount of emotions going in at that stage, really.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, because I watched it with Ethan. Saw it, I think he was 5 at the cinema.
Yeah.
And, like, he's just sat in between me and my wife, and we're, like, in absolute floods of tears. And he's just sat there going, what are you crying for? We're watching a film, you idiots. You're disturbing me. Where's the popcorn? So, yeah, I support the PG certificate. I would hope more films are made for, like, a wider audience. So, you know, more people can see them, you know, regardless of topic.
As I don't mind, I would say yes, but what I hate is films that are of franchises that are dumbed down to PG certificate.
Well, that's the whole other point, isn't it?
That's
the whole other podcast right there.
Yeah, that's what I don't want. If you're making a PG film, that's fine. Make it a PG film, but don't try and make The Expendables or Rambo or, you know, whatever it is, Die Hard or any of these things less than what they are.
Basically, we like 18s. Make them 18s.
Yeah. Well, Rocky was a PG. That's not...
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
See, I would... It gets weird. It's like that period of cinema in the 70s where it was just like the weirdest films. Like, you know,
Rocky IV is a PG.
Really?
Even when Apollo Creed dies.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Man, that's harsh.
That's Rocky 3.
What about Rocky 3? Yeah, Rocky 3 must be a PG if Rocky 4 is. Hell.
Yep, PG.
That's
there you
mental.
Go.
So, why is it 15 or 12 on DVD? What's pushed it up to 12?
And Rocky Balboa was a 12A.
So... Because I've got the first 1 to 5, and it's 12 on DVD, because I can see, because it's staring at me right in the face right now. So what pushed it over?
I don't know.
Is that because Rocky Balboa is a 12? So they've got to
it doesn't have Rocky Balboa in it. It's just the 1-5.
1-5, is it?
Let's see. Rocky. Yeah.
Is Rocky 5 a... No?
2 PG.
So it must be Rocky 5 then. That's a 12. That's ridiculous.
Rocky 5 PG? I don't know.
Really?
Could it be the extras?
Must
could
be
it be things to do with the extras?
Got to be. That's crazy.
Rocky DVDs, Rocky, that's 12, according to this. On the BBFC website, Rocky's a 12.
Blimey, so it's got to be one of the...
Yeah, Rocky's a...
The film or the DVD?
Rocky's a bloody 15, according to the BBFC website.
What?
The ultimate after.
Yeah.
What's... So, okay, well, you suppose you were...
Actually, no. Rocky, director Suresh Krishna. I think this is the wrong film. Stars Zaid Khan, Aisha Sawar, and Manisha Lambert. That ain't Rocky, is it? That ain't Rocky. That's a Rocky. That's not the Rocky.
It could be a.
There we go.
Rocky.
Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, PG. There we go. Yep. Woof. Sort that out.
So it must be. It must be.
Must be one of the extras. Blimey.
So there's there's Rocky Balboa Reality in the Ring, Film and Rocky's Final Fight, which is a DV additional material, is 12.
Yeah, I think the DVD for that is 12.
The DVD commentary of Rocky is a 12.
Oh, it could be commentary. Actually, that's what it could be, the commentaries, because I do know as well there is a Doctor Who box set which has been pushed up to a 12, and the reason for that is because Janet...
Yeah, I think it looks like it's the commentary.
I looked at my shelf, and the second series of Doctor Who is a 12, and the fourth series is a 12.
Yeah, no, I'm talking the original series.
The original series, sorry.
Peter Davison, Janet Fielding plays a character called Tegan. She does commentary on one of the episodes, and in it she goes off about the Master's sonic probe thing looking like a and because of that, that actually gets busted up to a 12. Because the whole sexual talk.
Shall I bleep there? This is very
that would be good, actually.
Bleep it twice.
So whenever we say you have to bleep it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Phil loves her.
Not as much as Jareth loves a drop his. But I'm going to bleep that word anyway, so you don't know what I said, so it's going to sound rude regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, like you say, Jared likes flowers, but when I bleep it, it's going to sound really dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why we need to put the Raw edition out as well. And you know what? That's quite
Raw.
The Raw edition. You know what's actually quite appropriate is that we're doing this amidst all the blackouts with the SOPA thing. We're putting out
But we didn't record it the night Wikipedia was down, though, did we?
No.
That time. Otherwise, we were
what? It was so stupid because it still worked on your phone, or if you just opened Google Translate in one window and just opened up like the Spanish language one and went and put it through Google Translate, it worked.
Wow. You know what, that reminds me of another PG film, and that's The Spanish Prisoner. But I don't think we've got time to talk about that.
No,
we haven't got time for that now. Never mind, eh? We'll cover it again in the future podcast, I expect.
Maybe.
Never mind. That was a show about PG films, but not kids' films.
Motherfucker.
Yeah! And I'd also like to point out this podcast that my Netflix suggestion list is much better than Jared's.
Thanks.
Yeah.
How can you look at people's? Because mine's...
It just... Weird. I don't know. How do you... Oh, you mean the one, the photo I took?
Yeah, Jared took a picture and it was like Mrs. Potter and...
It was like this really random list, like best British films with a female
star. Yeah, with a strong... Best British films with a strong female lead.
What's really funny game as well is if you look at the Xbox, if you look on the Netflix, you can see friends' favourites or what your friends have been watching. Go through them all and see who's been watching what. And there's Miss Potter come up and thought, that was you, Jared, isn't it?
that must be online, is it?
That's on the Xbox one, that.
I didn't see that on the PC.
It's on the website as well, I think.
Oh, our one says friends are watching. Oh, is that what you mean? I thought you could actually see the list of what people have watched.
Well, it does push things onto Facebook.
I don't know how. That's that one time that came on. I have no idea how that did that.
Is that from the PS3, though? Because the PS3 can add trophies on, can't you? So I think that's the PS3 when you're watching PS3.
I think it's just linked to your Facebook account.
There's a thing comes up that says, don't share on Facebook. Yeah.
Like share or don't,
I don't
share.
Know.
That's odd because it doesn't do it on mine when I've. Yeah.
See, so Jared.
So I'm on sharing, and but I'm doing it on Netflix.
Yeah. The Jared's films have got him the strong female lead films, and I've got violent revenge, action, and adventure. Which is Van Damme and Kickboxer. I've got Sin City. I've got Darkman, Punisher Warzone, Young Guns, Machine Girl, Tokyo Gore Police. A film called Bloody Battle. It's just called Bloody Battle. That's all you need to know about it. That's what I get. That's what I get recommended to me on Netflix.
Your wife obviously hasn't watched it yet.
Nothing at all, no.
Wait till that kicks in.
So I think we can all give Netflix a great big thumbs up from all three of us, can't we?
Yeah, it's got Kickboxer on there. What more do you need?
Yeah.
And it is basically my sneakers player now.
RoboCop 2.
And RoboCop 3's on there. I've seen that.
Phil just has sneakers on repeat in the background with whatever he's doing.
That's why the call's been so bad, because the sneakers is playing in the background as I speak. I love the film, though. It's a brilliant film.
I must watch it.
It's good.
Must watch that. Ice Pirates as well.
It's Ice Pirates on there.
You've got to.
And I must watch.
You got that would be on there. You've got no excuse.
Oh, what's not on there.
What's that other film I have never watched?
Split Second. That's good on our store. Remember, that's good in the Bad Education shop.
Yeah, that's right.
Split Second.
Out of print.
And Runaway.
Yeah.
If you've got any more suggestions for the Bad Education shop, email lethalwatching@badeducation.com.
Yeah.
Or don't, because you didn't bother before.
Yeah, you Yeah, we didn't even. It wasn't technically an email. It was a message on the.
It was a plea. It was a reply to a plea.
What are we doing now? Next?
Next week. I don't know. Film? We'll talk about some films.
Hey, Phil, did you see there's a new Resident Evil film trailer out?
Fuck off.
We've got to do a Resident Evil special then in preparation for it.
No, we don't. Really don't. They're shit films.
We'll do a special just for you.
Shit films.
Have you watched The Three Musketeers yet?
No, because it looks.
Which one? The Disney one?
No, the Paul.
Oh, right. I was going to say, the Disney one's top.
With Buddy Orlando Bloom as the bad guy. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, was he bad, didn't it?
Yeah, he's got like some kind of big, massive
Elvis. Oh, I thought he was one of the Musketeers.
No, he's the bad guy. Orlando Bland is a bad guy. How does that work? Answer me that.
You won't be saying that when you see him in The Hobbit again.
That's true. But then he'll be an elf and be a badass.
Yeah.
Oh, thinking about it, have they got Legend
You'll
of
want
Orin?
To touch his vibrator?
No, I'm looking, they've got Legend of Orin on Netflix.
Oh, man.
They don't.
It's all on YouTube. It's on YouTube in its entirety.
I think it's on there. Because like the quality of 80s films on Netflix seems to be really good.
It's just like it is. Do you know what? If you want new releases, don't. But if you're like us and you'll watch anything made in the 80s, it's
so
perfect.
Three Amigos on there. Dune's on there, the 1980s version of Dune, which is a film.
Well, I've just been loving all the TV.
Oh, yeah.
It's taken me 10 years to watch Firefly.
Yeah, I watched that as well, yeah. First episode of that. I like it. It's quite a good Firefly. We should do films with
Canceled
spaceships.
For the time or whatever.
Films with spaceships.
Will we do that next week? Next time?
Or films with spaceships?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Why not?
Sorted.
Cool.
Gives me an excuse to acquire Star Chaser then, because that's got spaceships in it.
Yep.
Well, I'm bagging in Serenity because obviously it'll follow on because I'm due to finish.
All right,
that's fine. That's fine.
That was a joke anyway.
Oh, it's a good film. Seriously.
If we're going to do film spaceships, it should be the film with the best spaceship that isn't Star Trek or Star Wars.
I'll do Outland.
Bagging in Serenity.
What do you to that?
I'll do Outland.
Has that got a spaceship in it?
Yeah, at some point.
Is it one of the best spaceship that isn't in Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh.
That's what's got me. Well, you got...
You specify, okay, so we're making it more specific than just as a spaceship.
Yeah, it's got to be the best spaceship outside of Star Trek or Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah?
Well, handily, there's already a list that somebody's made of the 100 best movie spaceships, which I'm currently looking at.
Downloading all of them on your super fast broadband. Oh, wow, Young Sherlock Holmes on Netflix.
USS Kelvin.
Yeah.
I know, I'm doing
that. That was Star Trek.
Oh, there. Phil, you should do Giant Eddie Murphy from me, Dave.
F off. Yeah, yeah.
Just do you want to do that one now, Martin?
No, I don't. I really don't. I'd love that.
You know what? I think the power of that swear word has exploded the beeping machine. It's like, no.
Well, we can just talk about it then.
It's like a Tesseract from Doctor Who. Actually, there were some Doctor Who...
Is this being recorded for this episode?
I have no idea.
You may as well cut this bit out.
Yeah. Coming soon.
Yeah, we'll have to. I mean, even though Martin's picked Serenity, we'll have to like hide our list and come at each other.
Yeah.
So next week, there, the best
Jason's Raider from the Ice Pirates is in it.
It's a good ship.
It's a choice.
An
affected ship from the Thing. It's not really great. It's just a round ship.
It's a little round. Well, we'll come back next week and you'll find out what the best ship is.
Oh, yeah, that's not really a spaceship. It's a time ship. It's okay.
Does it travel through space, though?
I've got a good... Now, what do you mean by good?
What you think is the best spaceship outside of Star Trek or Star Wars?
Yeah.
Spaceship or... Right, okay, I've got one. You're not allowed to do it.
All right, then.
Do you want to know which one it is?
Yeah. Well, I think otherwise... Phil might choose the same one.
Yeah, but this won't be in it. Okay.
Okay.
I get better than that. I can do better than that.
Let's do what's that? That's...
The pretty good from but... Oh!
But I wouldn't say it's a nice ship.
It's got to be both aesthetically pleasing and a badass. Well, because it's full of Marines.
Because it's badass.
Right, well, this is for next week.
It aesthetically is pleasing to me.
We'll discuss it next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have heard that, at least from listeners, because we've just been talking about stuff. I'll keep it in, but I'll bleep it with the film that you said and all the names that we said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and watch FX2, The Deadly Art of Illusion on Netflix.
Excellent.
I think I might watch Breaking Bad. That's me. What are you going to watch, Jared? Are you going to watch Mr. Potter 2?
Even Pottery?
Yes.
Even more Potter. You see, my even Netflix pottery. Selection is so bad, I can't even see those films. I can't even see romance films on it.
They've been buried.
Wait a second. Visually striking cerebral films. Equilibrium. What?
Nah.
That's as cerebral as a punch to the face, that is.
It knows you, though.
It knows me. Right. It does know me.
It's like
Wow, the conversation's on you.
Christ, bye.
Bye.
And f*** off.
Lethal Watching was brought to you by Phil Doyle and Gerard Boyle.
I'm Martin Cobain.
In association with abadeducation.com.
Headspace Plus.